Good evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. It's a joy and a privilege to be here back at Grace Bible. And, you know, it's always a joy and a privilege to be able to share the Word of God. And you don't realize how much that is true as a pastor until, for some reason, you can't be in the pulpit and do that, as was the case with me about 6 weeks ago. And I just want to thank Grace Bible for allowing Brother Jim and Brother Greg to come over and fill in for me. But most of all, I want to thank you for your prayers. And I'm doing great right now. As of December 31st, I was in the hospital, not doing well. The doctor came in and said, I think we've probably done all we can do, and it may be time to start thinking about surgical options. And I said, whoa, time out. I'm not ready for that. So I went on disability, short-term disability from work, did a lot of research, started doing some things on my own. My doctor and I were in disagreement about how to treat my Crohn's. And 1 month later, January 31st, I was doing great. So I went back to his office and he said, there's no medical explanation for why you should be doing this much better this fast. And I said, a lot of people have been praying for me. So we'll take that. So thank you very much and praise the Lord for that. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we have to be together here tonight. We thank you so much for the fellowship, that tie of love that binds us together, one congregation to another. In fact, one believer to another, despite of denominational tags or any of those things. We just thank you so much for that connection that we have with fellow members of the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters. And tonight, we thank you so much for this ability to come here tonight and to freely and openly in this wonderful country, open your word and study it together. And so we just pray for your blessing upon us as we do that. We just pray for the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. This is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. Amen. I'll be turning to Ephesians chapter 4. There's this expression that we have in our society, the clothes make the man. Have you ever heard that expression? If we think about that for a moment, if I were to go down to the fire station and put on one of the fire suits that they have down there, would that make me a fireman? Just because I have the fire suit on? No, that's not true. And if I go to the hospital and I get one of the scrubs and put it on with a mask, does that make me a doctor? Would you want me to treat you? No, that doesn't make me a doctor. I can put on a diaper and drive across country to confront a rival, but that doesn't make me an astronaut. The younger ones are like, what? What are you talking? Google, that's what Google's for. Not during the service, though, afterward. That said, though, our outward appearance does say a lot about us, doesn't it? But I'm not just talking about our outward appearance in terms of our clothing, in terms of what we have on, but our outward appearance in terms of what we do, our actions, our behavior in our life. As Grace believers, we certainly emphasize the aspect of our position in Christ, emphasizing that we are in Christ and that our position is secure. We are eternally secure. But we also want to equally emphasize that Christ is in us. And that should make a difference in our life daily, in the way that we appear to the world around us, in the way that we act, in the way that we behave. And so Paul addresses that here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Let's look at verse 22. We're just going to break in here to this sentence, but Paul says, Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 22, he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul says here that we are to put off concerning the former conversation the old man. That's what it says in the King James conversation. And the meaning of that word is our former conduct, or our former manner of life, or our former behavior. It's the Greek word anastrophe. Right, Mark? Let's say that right. It occurs 13 times in the New Testament, and every time in the King James, it's translated conversation. This is talking about our conduct, the way that we behave. And it's not necessarily a bad translation. It's just that our language changes over time. And so the way that this word is understood in our society today, it's not quite the same as what it was when the King James Version was translated. Paul returns, actually, to the thought that he started back in verse 17. So let's pick up with that. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Christians are no longer to live as the unsaved. And that's what Paul was telling these Ephesians. He says, back in verse 17, he says that you no longer walk, and the King James does say here, as other Gentiles. Now, considering that they were a Gentile congregation, he's saying to them, don't walk as the people, the other people out there. Don't walk as those that are unsaved. In keeping with the new life that we've been given in Christ, the Christian then, again, should have a change, an effect of Christ in their life. Christ should be evident in the life of the Christian. He says we're to put off or put away that former lifestyle. The meaning here of to put off, Paul in verse 22 says that you put off that former behavior, that former conversation. The meaning is to put it away from you, or to place away from you, or to lay it aside from you. Look at Acts chapter 7. You know what happens in Acts chapter 7 is that Stephen is standing before the Sanhedrin, and we know that that doesn't go well with them, and they will not hear what Stephen has to say, and they run upon him, gnash their teeth, cover their ears, and they stone him. But in Acts chapter 7, there's an expression here that we want to read down at verse 58. Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. It says, "And they cast him, that is Stephen, out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." There where it says they laid down their clothes, their outer garments, they laid it down. That's the exact same expression that Paul uses over there in Ephesians 4:22. That you put away that former conversation. It's just a matter of putting it away from you. Like taking off that outer garment and setting it aside. Leaving it behind. Look also at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we're just going to look at verse 12. And again, it's the exact same thought as Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Paul says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." Here it's translated cast off, but it's exactly the same. To lay it aside, to put it aside, to put it off. The lifestyle of the Christian should conform to the righteous position that we've been given in Jesus Christ. And the first part of Ephesians, that's what Paul was talking about. Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. He's talking about that position that we have. And then as he transitions into chapter 4 and 5 and 6, he starts to talk about that practice that we should have in our daily life because of that position that we've been given. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 14. Speaking of the ministry, Paul says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live for themselves, or unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." We should no longer live for ourselves, but for Christ, who died for us. Let's get down to verse 17. Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." See, God's major concern for believers is that we act like it. God's major concern for unbelievers is that they be saved. But God's major concern for you and me is that we represent Him well. That we act like Christ really does make a difference in our daily life. If you read the Scriptures, you'll see that God never tells the unbeliever how to behave. Not at all. No, the instruction is for us as believers. He instructs us how to live and how to behave His main concern, again, for the unsaved is that they be saved. But after that, all things should become new. Old things are passed away. The old behaviors, the old habits, we're to lay them aside, put them away, put them off, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:22. Back to the passage, Ephesians 4:22. He says that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, that old man is that old Adamic nature that we are born with. That old sin nature that's a part of every one of us. Now, notice in the text, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, that former conduct, the former behavior, the former way of life, and then he says the old man. The connection between these two, the conversation or that former way of life and this old man or old sin nature, indicates that the two are interchangeable. The two are compatible with one another, you see. That old way of life, that old behavior is actually a product of that old nature that dwells within us. That old man that he's talking about here. And the old man and his lifestyle is inconsistent with God and the lifestyle that he would have us to live. It's inconsistent with Christ in us. But God has put that old nature to death. Turn to Romans chapter 6. This is a passage I know you well. I know that you know well. Sometimes those that teach the Scriptures, when we turn to certain places, it's hard to pick a verse or even a few verses, and we want to just go through the whole thing. Romans 6 is one of those. I just want to teach the whole chapter, but we don't have time to do that because Bill has to speak later. So I want to save him the time to do that. So for the moment, we're just going to read verse 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That is Christ. The old man that Paul's talking about over there in 4:22. Romans 6:6 says, he's crucified with Christ. He's been put to death on the cross with Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now notice, there it's an accomplished fact. Paul says to put away those things that are attributed to the old man in our life. Romans 6:6 says, that old man has been crucified with Christ. It's an accomplished fact. But you see, with you and me, it's the flesh that's corrupted. And the flesh will be corrupted all the way until the day that we die. Our whole walk here on this earth, we will deal with this corrupted flesh that has this old nature within it, that old man. Therefore, we have the responsibility to make this true in our daily life, that the old man has been crucified, that we should henceforth no longer serve sin. It's been made possible, but you see, we have to make that choice to do that in our life, to live a life that's consistent with our profession of Christ. Once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became part of the family of God. And our relationship to Adam was abolished, you see. We are no longer in Adam, which is the condition when we're born. We are now in Christ. We have a new relationship. Therefore, we should put away the deeds of that old relationship. And instead, our life should be consistent with this new relationship that we have. It says here that we are corrupt. Again, Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This is in the present tense in the Greek. I am by no means a Greek scholar. So I'm telling you what I read from Campbell's commentary, Ernest Campbell. And he says this is in the present tense here, this corruption. Today, then, if we were thinking of it in our own language, our modern language today, we would say then that the flesh is being corrupted. It's a constant, continuing process then that's happening. In other words, it's going to continue. It's a continual process throughout our lifetime. The lusts, the desires, the longings, the cravings of the flesh that we're in will never go away for as long as we are here. Scripture teaches us that in that old nature, there is nothing good. And Paul says as much in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells what? No good thing. There's nothing good about the flesh. It can't be fixed. It can't be reformed. Instead, God condemns it to death and gives us a new and a better life in Christ. There was a dry cleaners in Canada that they had on their sign outside, if your clothes aren't becoming to you, then they should be coming to us. That's a clever slogan. But for us, our condition is not like that of dirty laundry. We can't take this dirty, corrupted flesh and somehow clean it up and make it better. Instead, that has to just be put away and never worn again. God has something new and better for us. One time I took a shirt to the dry cleaners, and it came back and there was a note pinned to the shirt with a little arrow to a spot that was on my shirt. Now, I took it to the dry cleaners for them to get that spot out. But it came back, and you know what the note said? It said, we are sorry, but this stain would not come out. That's a perfect picture of what's wrong with us. We are so stained with sin that it will not come out of this flesh. Our old man has stained it so deeply that the sin cannot be eradicated. So again, it's hopeless to merely just try to clean up the flesh. God has a much better solution: to put it away completely. To put away those old habits and that old nature once and for all. Look at the next verse. He says, to put that away in verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now let's turn to another passage of Scripture that you know well, Romans chapter 12. Starting with verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, Paul says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind. Back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. He says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That also tells us that we have a problem with what? Our mind. Go back to verse 17 again. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. But it doesn't stop there. See, this is a recurring theme in these verses. Look at the next verse, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Where is our understanding? It's in our mind. The way that we think about things, the way that we reason things out. The natural man can't reason things of spirituality and morality and come out with the right answer most of the time. Their understanding is darkened, Paul says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance. They don't have the right knowledge to work with. And, he says, because of the blindness of their heart. What is it the heart that's blind? Or what? It's the mind that's blind, isn't it? The Scriptures use the heart a lot, but that's to put emotion in with the thought. Emotion with the thinking, with the thought process. And so here, they're blind in the heart. Again, the recurring theme here in this passage has to do with the mind. The mind is afflicted, and it needs to be fixed. Our thinking needs to change. It needs to be renewed. Many of our problems have to do with the way that we've been trained to think about things. The human mind is brilliant. It really is. It can accomplish many things. Think up solutions to some very complicated problems. Physics and medicine and those kinds of things. But without God, again, it cannot come to the proper conclusion concerning matters of faith and morals and spirituality. Satan always attacks the mind because we're actually vulnerable to those attacks. Our mind actually gravitates toward that because that's our natural condition. By nature, we do those things. And so we have to be careful against that, guard against that, and renew our mind. The regeneration of the Holy Spirit brings the mind of Christ into our human personality. The Holy Spirit brings a new direction to the thought life of the Christian. The carnal mind will want us to continue in that old direction, continue in the practices of that old man, that old sin nature. But we must deliberately put off those things and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Again, this is renewing. The verb is in the present tense. What does that mean? It's what? Ongoing. It's continual. You can't come to the Scriptures one time and read something and say, okay, I'm good. I don't need church anymore. Unfortunately, many people have that opinion, I think. You know, I went one Sunday. I'm good. I read the Bible once, cover to cover, in 1 year. I'm done with it. No, it doesn't work that way. Because the corruption is a continual process in our daily life. The renewing also has to be a continuing process in our daily life. Because when we win the victory against Satan, we may win a victory one time, but that doesn't mean he quits. And that doesn't mean that suddenly we're no longer going to be tempted by sin. Because again, that flesh is going to pull us in that direction towards it. It's attracted to it. So the renewing has to be a continual process as well. We should never become complacent or satisfied with our spiritual progress as Christians. And I think too many Christians do. The renewing of the mind should continue for our entire lifespan. For as long as the Lord leaves us here, we have to continue to approach the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to use the Scriptures in our life. Remember, our goal is to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, once you reach that goal, good for you. But I still have a long way to go. I know that. To grow spiritually to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ is our goal. Look back at Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, back at verse 13, there were these gifts that were given to the church, and there were men that could teach us the Word of God. And how long should they be teaching? How long should we all be involved in the ministry together? Well, verse 13 has the answer. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. That's all of us. Every denomination, every Christian, everyone in the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, that's one of the big problems with several of the big denominations today is they don't have a proper knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's how long we're to continue. Now, for us personally in our daily life, that we're only going to grow toward that goal through a daily submission to the Holy Spirit in our life. Daily submission. Daily getting into the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to use the Word. Hold your place and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Just back a few pages. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that easy? Paul sure makes it sound easy, doesn't it? Doesn't he? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Oh, wait, now we have this battle going on. That's the problem. That's why it's not quite as easy as the previous verse makes it sound. We have this battle going on within us, the flesh and the spirit, striving against one another. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Oh, Romans chapter 7, Paul has a lot to say about that. That struggle that we all face daily. And how sometimes we find ourselves not doing the things that we should. But Paul says we're to put away that old nature. To put it off. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Just as the old man is to be put off, the new man is to be put on. Remember those verses that we looked at to lay it aside, to put it away from you. Paul makes it almost sound like it's just as easy as changing a dirty shirt. Take one off, put it aside, and don't put it on again, and put on this other one, this clean one. I put on a shirt today to come here. My wife said, that shirt is dirty. Put on a clean one. It was the one we wore to lunch today, okay? And I was going to wear the same one. No, she also brought up that it might be cool and I need a long sleeve and it was a short sleeve. But Paul does make it sound that way, doesn't he? He says, this new man, just put it on. Now, this new man is the product of the new birth. The old man, again, that Adamic nature. The new man is the nature of Christ. Just as we inherited the old nature by natural birth, we inherit this new nature by our new birth, by our identification with Christ. The idea of this putting on is just as it sounds like. When we were talking about changing shirts. It's to get into or to clothe oneself with this new nature. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Again, for the sake of time, we're just going to pick a couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 9. Paul says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That old conversation, that old way of life, that old way of behavior. You've put that away, verse 10, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who we want to become like. You see, this new nature is marked by righteousness and holiness, the nature of our Lord. Look at it again. He says, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Think about our Lord Jesus Christ while he was here among us. And the record that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What was his nature like? Was he ever selfish? No. Rude? No. Impatient? No. Angry? Yes. Yes, he was. But with a cause. But we also read in the Scriptures that that anger was accompanied with grief because of the blindness of people's hearts. Because of their spiritual immaturity. He was loving and thoughtful, and there was no flaw in his character. Now, because our sinful disposition, our natural disposition, is in contrast to our Savior's disposition, then we have to put off that natural man and put on this new man, this new nature, this new garment that's been made available to us. It says it's created after God. God is the creator of this new man. It's not something that we do. I don't want you to get the idea that I told you at the beginning, you can't reform the flesh. So it's not your strength or your power or your initiative that takes place here. It's the Holy Spirit of God working through you that makes this change in our daily life. We are to become this new, or to take on ourselves this new character through the Holy Spirit working within us, that's created by God. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Again, just a couple of pages back. We are actually made a new creation at the moment of our salvation. These things become available to us. But again, we have to make it a reality in our daily life. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. Paul said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation, a new creature." We already read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, that in Christ all things are become new. We are become a new creation there. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Many people have verses 8 and 9 memorized, but how many have verse 10 memorized? Ephesians 2, 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created by Him." This new creature, this new creation that we are, Paul says, is created in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4, we look at it, this putting off of the old man, this renewing of the mind, this putting on of the new man. We have a responsibility, again, to make that a reality in our daily life. It's a deliberate and determined action on our part to yield ourselves to that. Like an old filthy suit that we decide, this one is dirty. It doesn't become me at all. It does not present a good image of me or of those I represent. And so I'm not going to wear it anymore. And so what do with that old dirty suit? You leave it on and you get a new clean suit and put it over top of it. No. But unfortunately, it seems like that's what a lot of Christians try to do. Unfortunately, it seems like in my own life, that's what I try to do many times. I want to keep that old dirty suit. It's kind of comfortable. I kind of like it that way. But let me just show people this new suit that I have. But it shouldn't be that way. We should take off that old suit, that old man, those old deeds, those old practices. Might be comfortable, but it's not right. It's not righteous and not truly holy. Doesn't represent us well or our Savior well. We got to put those deeds away and put on the new man that's been given to us. That new suit, that new image that in fact is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His nature. We are to be in life, you see, what we already are in Christ. This is what this conference is about this weekend. For me to live is Christ. Is it? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear my Father, we just thank you so much again for this time that we've had to look into your word tonight. We thank you so much for who you are, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, but also for your righteousness and your holiness and your justice. We thank you that you have, in your justice, taken care of sin on our behalf. And in your righteousness and holiness, it is taken away. We thank you so much for that love and grace and mercy that has provided this for us and made it available to us, that has not only taken sin away from us, but also has given us your righteousness and holiness in our life. We thank you again for that precious position that we have. We know it as a truth and we are secure in it. But Father, again, we pray that we make it a reality in our daily life, that we do as Paul said here, that we are conscious of who we are and the things that we do, and that we are mindful of it, and that we put those things away, that we allow the Holy Spirit to examine our minds and our hearts for the things that are unclean, for those old dirty garments in our life that we need to not have around anymore, that we are to not put them on, not have them, but lay them aside and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us to put these things away. We thank you that you've given us the power to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that without that power, there would be no way we could live the Christian life. But we thank you that you've given us the power to do it. We thank you that we have this new nature, this ability to live this new life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask this prayer and we give you all the praise. Amen.